In our breakout and best-selling book, Looking for Angels, A Guide to Understanding and Connecting with Angels, Dr. Scott Guerin and I share how you can communicate with angels, understand signs from the universe and these celestial beings, feel at peace knowing you are always connected to Source, and much more. Get your copy today at lookingforangelsbook.com, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your local bookstore. And now you can even get the audio version narrated by me and Scott through Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. You are listening to A Psychic Story, a podcast that shares behind-the-scenes insights of people who lead supernatural lives among the ordinary. And I'm your host, Nicole Bigley. Join me every Wednesday as I dispel the myths behind magic and lore. Welcome to A Psychic Story. Mysticism. Hi, psychic listeners. Welcome back to another episode of A Psychic Story. I am very excited to introduce today's guest. It is Julie Jancis, and we are going to talk about her book, Angels in Awakening. She also has a podcast, and the world is so small. We have a lot of folks in common. Our spirit guides and angels actually connected us on, you know, just in this world, in this life. And I thought it was just amazing how that happened. But before we get into all of that, A, I want to welcome her to the show. And we want to dive into your story, Julie, about how you even got started. So welcome to A Psychic Story.
Nicole, thank you for the blessing of getting to be here. It's so fun to get to connect with you. I feel like you're a soul sister.
Oh, thank you. Same sister. All right. So I know a little bit about you because I follow you on Instagram. I've read your book and everything. And so I know about your dad when he passed, that was kind of a little bit of the genesis of how you got started into this, you know, line of work. But I don't want to put words in your mouth. So I'm going to turn it over to you and just have you kind of open up and share what everything has been like and what got you started to where you are today.
Yeah. So I think as empaths, as highly sensitive people, as intuitives, it's not like it can come about later on in life and you didn't have it earlier on. I think most of us have had it from the beginning. We just thought that everybody did. And some event occurs to create this opening and this awakening to the realization that we're not our thoughts. We could be the observer of our thoughts. We can witness our thoughts. We don't have to attach to our thoughts. And my dad was the event. His passing was the event that brought that through for me. So he and I had been really close when I was young. He was so soulful and just like so wise. He was definitely an old soul, and we connected in such this like beautiful way. But we kind of grew apart because I held a strong moral boundary when I found out that he was cheating on my mom. So long story short, we try and reconnect throughout the years, my 20s, my early 30s. And August 5th, 2015, I am brushing my daughter's hair and I hear this voice. She needs a hairbrush like I used. And it continues to repeat, she needs a hairbrush like I used. And I continue to hear this statement that actually sounds like my own internal dialogue, but I hear it on repeat, one statement all month long. And I remember it leading to a second thought, which is, this is weird. This isn't me. I can't tell my husband about this. I can't tell my mom about this. They're going to think I'm crazy. They're going to lock me up. So I felt very, very alone in it. And I was at work one day, a month later, my sister kept calling while I was in a meeting. And so I said, I'm so sorry, I got to take this. And she goes, Dad's passed. And then immediately out of my third eye, your imagination, I saw this vision of my dad combing my hair when I was little, before school. And he was using a hairbrush I had not thought about in 25 years, because I always remember using a big old paddle brush, but he had this wooden handlebar with boar's bristles brush, and it clicked in an instant. And I just blurted out to my coworker in front of me, "Oh my goodness, my dad's been talking to me this entire time." So that was the case. He was able to, and this happens to people across the board, right? I'm sure you hear it over and over again. Like, you might be listening and you're like, "I heard so-and-so pass away and I really felt like I should say this, or they were calling me to do this." I believe that spirit can see energetic openings from the other side and who's open and receptive, because we're all intuitive, but to a different degree at the beginning, and we can all develop it, and they'll come through. And so from that one experience, I realized that I'm not my thoughts and that I was intuitive. And it's so funny, Nicole, how spirit works, because the coworker in front of me, she goes, "You got to figure out how this, you got to figure this out. You got to work with other people." So she was so encouraging.
She got a message too in that moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. So has your dad talked to you? I'm sure probably, but I don't want to put words in your mouth again, but like, has he talked to you since then? Was that the only time? And how does that look like since?
No, I have daily communication with him. And that's really kind of my life's work, is teaching people that our relationship with our loved ones doesn't end when they pass. Like, we can learn to have a relationship with them, a deep relationship from the other side. We just have to recognize that it's a different type of communication. Like, he can't be here physically and talk like we're talking right now, but there is telepathic communication that happens. And so, no, I have different signs that represent different things for different reasons he's coming through. And if you're a healer, a lot of times your special loved ones on the other side, I call them a bridge, because they'll show up as you're learning to become a healer. And what I mean by a bridge is that loved one, who's really a part of your spirit team as a healer, is making a connection between the client in front of you, the loved ones that they have on the other side, and making sure the right information comes through the healer to get to that client. So whenever I'm in a session, he's right there too.
Oh, that's awesome. So actually, I want to get to that. So after this experience with your dad, and it opened you up and you got this message, it clicked, right? It clicked that you got the message and that you wanted to explore. What was like the next thing you did? I know you're a Reiki master and you're a healer as well. So what did that look like as far as, you know, that progression?
Sure. So first I studied with a healer out in California, and I studied with her for about 6 months. But I was really working through a lot of fear that I had within myself, and starting to recognize that healers have different philosophies. So the healer that I was working with had this philosophy of bring through anything that comes through to you, because nothing's bad. It's all from spirit, God, universe, source. And my experience with her was, I was working with her for about 6 months, Nicole, and the first five were amazing. Got so much, learned so much. And then she turned on me and she started to say all of these negative things were going to happen in my life. And I just got such a bad vibe. And I was working intensely with my angels and my loved ones on the other side at the other time. And they go, "That's not it. Spirit doesn't bring through any negative information, because it would bypass your free will." So in sessions, never choose for another person. Tell them you must do this. Spirit's never going to do that. And spirit's never going to bring through something negative that places that in your field, because then you have this which came first, the chicken or the egg scenario, right? Was it really going to happen? And what she said did not ever occur. So I stopped working with her. And that's when I said, God, I don't know if this is for me. If this isn't of you, if this isn't like a good gift, take it away. I'm going to kind of put this away for a brief period of time. I'm going to pray every day. And if you don't want me doing this, take this away, this gift. So I prayed every day and I heard, you've always asked Julie to be a tool I can work through. This is how I need you. This is how I need to work through you. So I got to the end and the gift was still there. So then I went on and I did a Chios energy healing training that was in person. I think that one was like 6 or 7 months. And then I did my Reiki master training. And then I got to work starting my own business.
Wow. Well, you say something super important. Well, a lot of things that you said were important, but I think I want to kind of hammer in a little bit more about the choice, because I think sometimes when people come to us, like one, you never should put somebody else up on a pedestal. Like, we're not oracles. Like, we're helping to connect with the other side and or angels or universe, whatever you want to call it, right? Universal energy and source. But at the end of the day, our interpretation of it, like, we're human, right? We really are trying to, or I should say the universe is really trying, like you just said, to remind people that they have free will, that they have choice. And I don't necessarily say do this or what have you, because it's exactly that. Like, usually, and I'm sure it's probably the same with you, when you get information, I get multiple paths. I get like a vision of, if you were to kind of go down this path, like energetically, it feels this way or this or the other. And so people are like, well, what do I do? Like, I think sometimes they want somebody to just make a choice for them.
So what I always say is, it's really about connecting my client with what they really want for themselves. And spirit is your spirit team, your angels, your guides, your loved ones on the other side, they're trying to help you do that too. So for example, I had a gentleman come in one time, a big entrepreneur, wanted to buy another business, wanted to buy a specific location for the business. And what happened was, he wanted just that, what you said. He wanted me to make the decision for him. He was going to spend $1 million to buy this property. And what happened was, I knew, you ever get that sense where you're like, he wants me to make this decision. And what he wants is me to tell him it's okay to buy this property. But when you tap into his energy, he didn't want to buy the property at all. And so if I was to just say that to him point blank, he might be like, oh, she doesn't know what she's talking about. Oh, like, I'm going to go to somebody else who's going to tell me what I want to hear. That's not our job. Our job is not to tell you what you want to hear. Our job is to tune in to your angels, guides, and loved ones, to your energy, and to bring you to your truest point of yourself. So I go, okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to write down exactly what spirit is saying. You're not going to buy into it until after I walk you through an exercise. So I wrote it down and I said, listen, I'm going to show you my hands the entire time. I'm not writing anything else. Now I said, stand up. And I walked him through a sway test that I do to help people get a determination of their own energy. You basically stand up straight and you ask a question of yourself. And you want to start with questions you absolutely know the answer to. Like, in this lifetime, my name is Julie Jancis. And if you go forward, you like sway forward, it's a yes. If you sway backwards, it's a no. So I walked him through a series of questions that he knew. Yes, yes, yes. And then you insert the question that they're asking really fast and see what happens. So then I interjected with, and you want to buy this property. And he went way backwards, almost to the point where he like stumbled back. I said, okay, now sit down and let's go over what your angels are saying. And I said, you know that you don't want to do this. There's something going on. I can't tell you exactly what it is, but you don't want to do this. I said, you want the decision to be made. You want to have this location. You want this part of your life to be over. You're frustrated with the slow pace of it, but this location is not exactly where you want. And he goes, that's dead on.
Yeah. Wow. And if you had led with the answer, like you just said, like as far as what you got, he'd be like, no, and probably have gone to somebody else. So I love the way that you explained it, because a huge part of our responsibility when people come to us, and I'm sure to you, is just that it is helping them to understand the broader way of how they're connected to their guides and angels and their spirit team, what it looks like. So, because it's almost like I also don't necessarily want people contacting me all the time. Like my whole thing is you can do this, right? Like you say that a lot in your book. I mean, that's what you write, wrote a whole book about it. So tell us about that and, you know, just how connected you are to angels and your spirit team, as you call it, both here on earth and also on the other side and what that looks like.
So it's so funny. I had on a scientist the other day. Her name's Julia Mossbridge. And
I saw that. I'm so excited to hear. Yeah, oh I want to listen to that episode so much. I'll link to it later.
You're going to have her on your show. She got her PhD in love and time, researching love and time. And I know you read a lot, Nicole. I read a ton. She's a fascinating individual. And what she said is it's scientifically proven. They've scientifically proven that. I call it oneness. Eckhart Tolle calls it the now. We're all using different terms, presence, you know, being the observer of your thoughts. We're all using these terms to relate and get people to understand that there's a deeper energy, a highest vibration that we can get into. And what she said is that it's scientifically proven that you cannot facilitate this connection with the other side without understanding how to get into this frequency, right? Because what people have to realize is that, yes, we are absolutely all intuitive. But the other scientific thing that they've proven is not everybody's using their intuition. Like they're studying people's brains and they're looking at their brains. And they say when people go through a program to become more intuitive, they're learning how to build and flex that muscle, right, of their intuition. And they can see it in the brain. So the first one third of my book is all about getting into this like highest vibration that is, I call it oneness, because what it is it's God's energy. It's love, joy, peace, bliss, ease, and grace. And it's also your soul's energy. You know, if we're one droplet in the ocean that is God, we're part of the same frequency. And so oneness is your soul's energy. And once you can get into this, you absolutely can develop your intuition. You absolutely can talk to your angels and talk to your loved ones on the other side. So 1 month, I broke the book down into 3 months, kind of walking people through slowly. It's interesting because we live in this day and age of Netflix and everybody just wants to binge everything. But spiritual work is actually a reprogramming of so much that's happening within your energy, within your brain to rewire it. And you can't binge it. So I walk you through what to do each day for 3 months. First month, just getting into oneness. Because if I can get you to that point, I can help you with the next part. The next part in the book is almost like an angel dictionary, right? Like where it goes through each angel.
I love that part,
angel.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like how they're working with you in your life. And at the end, I tie it all together because I wanted places. I don't know about you, Nicole. I'm so ADHD. And in all my books, like there's writings and like highlighting, right? So there's space to write within the book too. And there's a space at the end where you can pull it all together and say, okay, these are the angels on my spirit team. These are the loved ones on my spirit team. And this is how they're working with me in my daily life.
What I love about that too is because sometimes when people come to me, they're like, who is my spirit team and my angel team and all of that? And some people I can tell like right away from tuning in that they do a lot of work, as far as praying and intentions, because they'll have either the big archangels or they'll have, you know, ascended masters around them. So I'm like, you've been calling in the big guns, and we all have them, right? Like we all have them. But going back to your point earlier about free will and choice, they also can't interfere with us really or work with us unless we're giving them permission to come in. To your point about having that oneness and being grounded in that energy and that space and how it feels and how it looks, and just so that you're tapped into it. But then I love the dictionary aspect, because I don't know, I would love to hear from you too about like how certain angels show up for you, because there's feeling and emotion, but then also just a sense of knowing. And each one, to me at least, feels very distinct, right?
Yeah.
As far as angels go, how do they show up for you? I mean, you mentioned the dictionary in your book, but the distinct personalities and or how, if I guess if they're showing up, how maybe would you describe them and how people can keep an eye out for them and that sort of thing?
Okay, so this is really interesting. And I actually got to spend like 5 minutes with Teresa Caputo once. And I was like, what is the one question I can ask her within 5 minutes? Yes, right? And I was like, why don't you have a dictionary of signs and symbols, right? You're always talking about the signs and symbols that you see create the dictionary. And she goes, well, to you, maybe a lake house is phenomenal and you had the best time at the lake house. And somebody else went away to a lake house and their dad ended up having a heart attack and passing away at the lake house. So the lake house has a different vibration for them than it does for you. The signs and the symbols cannot be the same because they're based on our own life experience. So there are, I teach throughout the book how to kind of fine-tune that for yourself and identify with that one particular angel that you're working with for the day, what their sign is for you. And then there are some kind of universal signs. Raziel, Archangel Raziel, is always helping us piece together different things that are going on within our lives. And he will always come in with rainbows. And I was writing the book, Nicole, and I go, are you sure you want me to say this? And I literally looked over to my left and there was, I didn't have a prism in the window, but there was a rainbow coming through onto the floor. I go, okay, sign noted. I'm including it in.
Not going to question you again.
Yes. And now everybody is like, you're right. I see the rainbows when I'm working with Raziel. So that's really fun.
I didn't realize that because I see rainbows not all the time on my end, but sometimes when people call me and they ask and I'm like, well, a rainbow is going to be your sign. But now I know, because that's important. For me, Archangel Michael, I tend to get little blue flashes, like almost like fireflies around. But and I had no idea until after I did my Reiki mastership that blue color, like he tends to show up with that blue color sometimes visually. So that's important. So you're right. There are universal signs sometimes for certain ones. Do you have any others?
Well, and that'll come through, even the signs come through differently for different people. Cause to your point, if you can see color, right? Like you can see the blue, that's awesome. Not everybody can see the color. So I don't like people to be like, okay, well, if I'm not seeing it this exact way, then, oh no, I'm not working with my angel. No, like they're all working with you and they just need you to see it the way that you can. Some of them come in with a feeling. Like for me, Archangel Michael is pure safety and security. I'm going to use like, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I don't know. Have you ever seen the movie Twilight?
Yes. I'm embarrassed to admit it, but I have. And also not, because it's good.
It's so good. I know. I used to be a Twihard, right? So there's a point at which in one of the later movies, they show the gift of one of the vampires is the gift of being able to hold a person's emotions, make them feel the emotion that he wants them to feel. That was Jasper. And that's actually what Archangel Michael can do. He can make you feel safety and security, even where when you feel super overwhelmed or very anxious. And so every time I feel that total strong safety and security, I'm like, okay, Mike's here. Let's
He's around. Work. Yeah, Mike's around. Yeah. I feel the same way with Archangel Raphael. I'm sure you get this too, being a healer, that the way that it comes up and shows up from an emotion or a feeling standpoint for me is that love, like unconditional love, kind of comes in, and then a calmness and a peace, because usually they're working through, or Raphael's working through the energy, whether it's your chakras or your body or your spirit or whatever it is, right? Like that calmness and pulling through.
So funny. I totally get the calmness, but I always see, who's the guy and the rough, DMX and the Rough Rider crew come in. That's how I see Archangel Raphael, is like DMX.
Like, so still strong and powerful, but yet calm and peaceful and grounding.
Totally calm and peaceful. But I say DMX because he's always got a crew behind him of other angels.
Yeah.
Archangel Raphael is the only one who works with almost everybody here on earth and says he ensures that every single human being has their own team of healer angels that work underneath him.
Oh,
so it's just a massive amount of energy that's always surrounding people.
Can you explain that a little bit more? So like, let's say somebody's not, like their path isn't necessarily to be a light worker and a healer, but I'd imagine that Archangel Raphael and that team of angels around, you know, that angel is like set up. But what does that look like for just people in general? What does he mean by that, or she mean by that?
It means that, so I don't know, do you see angels and loved ones like when you're in a session?
I do in my mind's eye. I will see, the way it shows up to me is the angels, when I'm looking at somebody, like, so I'm facing you, the angels are over on your left shoulder, and then your loved ones will be on your right. And then that's just my guides and angels' way of helping me delineate spirit.
Yeah.
And then as I'm tapping in, I visually will see like how they look, and then I tap in emotionally how they're showing up, but I don't see them physically with my eyes.
Totally. And actually, that's how most people end up seeing too. So I see with my mind's eye as well. And there's no right or wrong way. And mm-hmm. I love that we're getting that message out today, because you do what you do so well, and like that works for you. And when I like am looking at you and doing a reading for you, I see a U shape from my shoulder around your head to my other shoulder of...
But that's weird. So yeah, so each shoulder. So that's another way. Okay.
Yeah. So I see this big U, and it's got all of your loved ones and angels. And then when I say, okay, Archangel Michael is stepping forward, he'll step out of the U and talk and step back. When Archangel Raphael is there, he steps forward, and then your team of healer angels are right behind him, all stepping forward.
That's what you mean by like the crew.
That's the crew.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Really fun.
Yeah. So let's get into, and by the way, like, let me know what else you want to kind of cover off in your book. But I feel like a lot of people have a ton of questions about like their angels and their spirit team. So I'm sure when people come to you and they're like, well, who is on my spirit team? How do you approach that? And what would you say to people who are listening, you know, about like either finding out on their own or just in general? I have my perspective, but I'd love to hear from you.
If I'm in a reading, that's what comes out first. So I walk people through a oneness meditation that's just 2 or 3 minutes to, one, teach them how to do that for themselves. But secondarily, it's really because it gives me space to connect with who's there and what they want to talk about. So as I'm walking them through this 2 or 3 minutes, I'm simultaneously looking at this U shape in front of me with these loving angels and loved ones on the other side. And I'm saying, who's there? Okay. Like, who's here with us today? Who wants to communicate?
I just got
today?
The song, Hello from Adele in my mind. Hello.
Yeah.
It's me. Sorry. I know that's really cheesy, but literally it popped in, so I could not say it.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So I write down at the very beginning, here's who's there. Like, here's who's on your spirit team. These are the angels that are working with you right now. These are the loved ones that are working with you right now. And I after that, kind of write down what they want to talk about for the day. And then I show people that, or I like tell them, okay, here's who's here. Here's what they want to talk about today. I really pride myself on the fact that in like 98 to 99% of all my sessions, people are, I ask at the very end, got any questions? And they go, nope, you answered it all. Like, that's amazing to me.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah. But it really just comes through at the beginning, and then we just take it one piece by one piece.
That's amazing. Yeah. I guess the way that I kind of like split it up, or the way Spirit has asked me to, is definitely angels and guides are the first thing, because I feel like it just helps people stay connected. And like you said, to really dive into, okay, well, how do I be not only in that energy, but just also the confidence in knowing that the universe has our back. Spirit has our back, right? They're here to support us. Like in the very beginning, when you were talking about the fact when loved ones pass on, they haven't really, yes, physically they have, but from an energetic perspective, I had somebody else on the podcast talk about, it's really like their love just expands and explodes that much more and supports us from all different areas. But then also from a healing and an energetic standpoint, like I've been getting a lot, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Like universe is really asking us to do more intentional awareness and healing on ourselves. And so I've been, and it's not necessarily full on Reiki, right? But just helping people kind of understand the obstacles or the things that they're kind of holding on to, and then how then they can work with their angels and guides or their higher self to kind of clear that and move on.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why I developed Angel Reiki, Nicole, because what the angels were saying, you know, when I went through my energy healing programs, you get into it, you're working on volunteers, and the premise of Reiki is that energy is being pulled through from the divine, through the healer, to the client. And the client's soul is doing the work of pulling in what they need, strength-wise, you know, energy-wise. And when you leave an energy healing session, you feel great. And sometimes that lasts for 3 days or 7 days. But the piece that the angels channeled is they said, what you're not seeing is the way that the soul works. The soul is energy, and the soul is conscious thought. So when you're doing Reiki, you're just working on the energy piece. You're not working on the conscious thought. Now, the only place we ever have an egoic mind is here on Earth, right? We don't have an egoic mind on the other side. We just have the intuition. So when you do angel Reiki, there is this component of holding oneness the entire time so that the client has the element of Reiki that's being brought through and they feel that energetic peace. But beyond that, bringing through the messages really works to allow a person to step back into their life and not attach to their fears. So one of the things that happens a lot is a younger person will come in, let's say they're like 27, and they're like, Julie, I haven't met the person I want to meet. And I so want, you know, and they have this fear. I remember being that age and having this fear of, what if I never meet the person I'm supposed to be with? What if I never get to have the kids that I want to bring through? And then grandma will come through. And normally, like, I don't ask any questions in my session, so I'm like a little backwards with this, but grandma will come through, say that her granddaughter feels this way. And the grandma will say, I will not let that happen. You have to show her this vision of her being at this age where she has everything that she wanted, those kids around her. And by showing her the vision and telling her, grandma's got this, she's not going to let you go your entire life without it. When that person leaves an angel Reiki session or a session where somebody's bringing through positive messages, they're able to go back into the life. And when they have that fear again, they're not going to ruminate on it. They're not going to get stuck in the fear, because that stuckness becomes a blockage. They're actually going to be able to move past it and not even spend time with the thought, because they're really like, shh, no, that's not going to happen. Julie said in the session, grandma's coming through. Grandma's got this. That's what I trust. And then they go about their day. And that is empowerment, right? To allow people to not get stuck by those fears, but to truly be on their soul's path.
Yeah, no, that's huge. And what I was also getting when you were talking was to bring up the emotion aspect, because I have always said, and I could totally be wrong, but fear is not a true emotion of our soul and of our being. I think that it's one of, you know, it's something, it's external to us. Now, I say that now when I've been in fear, it absolutely feels like it's a part of me and then it's inside me and it's whatever. But at the end of the day, like angels and guides have showed me in spirit that fear is not of us. It's not that unconditional love. It's not of the true source. And so when that comes up, it's hard for people to shake it. So you being able to, or their other, the other side, loved ones, showing them that, hey, again, we have your back and there's confidence in, we're not going to let you stumble. We're absolutely going to have you be open and receiving all the possibilities that universe has to offer is one thing. But also the thing where people can't get it out of their minds and they're still stuck is to think of a moment that's unconditional love, or think of something that just brings them back to shake them out of that fear mode or the mentality and whatever other emotion or tips you would have. But that's kind of what I've been really seeing a lot of lately, where they want us to kind of get back to that core emotion.
Yeah, 100%. Within the energy of God, universe, source, all that is, there is no fear. There is no low vibration. It's only here that we have that. And it's interesting because just like we were talking before about seeing signs and our gifts, and it comes into all of us in all different ways. I think what I found most as a teacher is that people just want the playbook, the directions to go by and say, this is it. But there is no playbook, right? Like there's tools and there's guidance, but we're all going to see it differently. So that fear, there's probably thousands of different ways to work that fear out. It's so powerful when we can just be aware of the fear. And just be aware of the thoughts that are bringing the vibration of fear within us. And then from that point, just going to God, going to our spirit team, going to a loved one on the other side and saying, listen, I don't want to feel this anymore. What do I need to do? And they will show you.
I was writing down that half the battle is just recognizing that moment and being aware, because then the rest of it, the other 50%, it may not feel easy, but it comes a lot easier because you're not on autopilot anymore and you're not just like reacting and being in whatever that emotion is and that lower vibration that you weren't, that you don't want to be in. And then what you said is super powerful, because in making the choice, going back to choice and free will, that I don't want to feel this way anymore, or I want a different outcome. And by the way, I have all of these people and spirits and universe around me to support. Now, how do I channel that and work with it and work through it, right?
And that's where it really does come in. Like we do need each other. We need help learning how to facilitate this within ourselves and develop this within ourselves. And it's fun to just try new things, right? Like just try different modalities and see what works best for you.
Yeah, everybody's different. You know, some people like crystals, some people like meditation, some people like sound baths or whatever it is. There's no right or wrong as long as, and I always like to say that if you feel drawn to something or you're curious about it, that's your intuition or your higher self's way of saying, it doesn't mean you have to be an expert at it, but like just learn and have some fun with it, right? And bring that joy into your life and bring that creativity and that inspiration, because that type of energy, those types of actions bring in all of the other good things that you want to move and clear and bring into your life.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it's so funny because once you start doing this work and working with your angels on it, you end up finding out that they're spot on, right? And
right.
When I would always do group healings. I would take people into visualizations, right? Whether that's connecting with their inner child, connecting with their future self or their higher self. And with one scientist that I had on the podcast recently, she was like, no, that's scientifically proven to bring through huge amounts of healing to connect to those other parts of ourselves. And I'm like, well, who would have even known? You know, you can't read all the books in the world. You can't know all the information. They'll bring through what you need to know when you need to know it.
That makes me feel so much better about the fact that, like, speaking of ADHD or ADD, right? It's like, if something's coming in, I feel like I have to do all the things, read all the books, write all the to-do lists, do all those other things. Finally, I was just like, it was making me anxious figuring that out. And so now I'm like, okay, spirit, bring it on, bring it in, drop it in my lap when I need to know that information and or I need to explore. So I love hearing that. I have two questions that keep coming up. I'm going to say them back to back and we can figure out which one you want to take first. But the first one I was getting is, why do we forget? So, because very early on, you were talking about how, you know, us being deprogrammed and or relearning things. So if, like, we've had previous lifetimes and experiences with all of our spiritual journey and soul work, like, why do we forget, right? That's the first thing. And then the other one is, why angels with Reiki? Because I do feel that angels and messengers and all of that, for whatever reason, at least I do, they're just more tapped into that energy and that healing and less that I get with, like, God's source or universal energy. So I just love, I know those are both big questions, but want to make sure I get those in.
Yeah. So, all right, let's talk about both. The first one, why do we forget basically like our soul self early on? I don't know that we all do it at the same age. Like, I think I released a lot of it when I was trying to fit in and feel quote unquote normal, like in high school. But once I realized that that was the way that my dad was coming through and I started bringing spirits and angels through in my sessions and realizing, okay, no, this is what it sounds like. This is what it feels like. This is what it looks like to have a vision. I was like, shit, this has been happening to me my entire life. I had a dream when I was in third grade. The teacher was like, let's talk about and explore, what do you want to do when you're older? And I'm like, well, this is really heavy. So I go home, I'm praying at night before bed. And I'm like, God, what am I going to do, you know, for work when I get older? And I go to sleep and I end up having this dream. And I didn't totally understand it at the time, but it's what I'm doing today.
Oh, wow. What was it like? What, explain and describe.
Okay. So I could probably explain it to your audience here and they would get it, because I just don't like to, you know how spirit uses metaphors and you're like, okay, I get that. You know, like, I am not so-and-so person, but you have to remember I'm in third grade at the time. Right. So this is like 8 years old. So this is God trying to explain to an eight-year-old the answer to her question, what is she going to do when she gets older?
Right. Like, that's a tall order.
That's a tall order. Okay. So nobody's allowed to email me and be like, you're nothing like these people that I'm going to mention in a second. You're not allowed to compare yourself to these people. I'm not comparing myself to these people. I had a dream that I was in front of this large crowd of people. I was at a microphone. It was live. I was in person in front of people. But I look over to my left and Martin Luther King Jr. is there. And I look over to my right and Jesus is right there. And what I know the metaphor is now, because I know God is not saying, because I woke up that morning, Nicole, and I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. Like, these people, God, like, this is what you're showing me. I am nowhere in the league of any, you know, supernatural being and Martin Luther King Jr. And I still don't think of myself anywhere near them today. It was a complete metaphor for, you're going to be doing the work of bringing people to God, right? Mm-hmm. Speaking in front of people. It was speaking and it was religious and not religious, spiritual in nature. And that's what I got from it. And so when I look back, I was like, wow.
What did you say to your teacher first of all? Were you like, Martin Luther King and JC are on my team?
On my spirit team. Yeah, for yeah, sure.
For sure. They definitely are. Yeah. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now you know and you can kind of put it together. But what, no, truly, what did you say to your teacher? Just say speaker?
Oh, to my teacher? I didn't say anything. Mm-hmm. I didn't. Okay. I never told anybody about that out loud except for about three people. And now everybody who's
and now
listening
everybody
to
knows.
Your podcast will probably know things.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. Well, I will say when you were talking, I was getting inspiration. And before we even booked this interview and the episode, you have very much angelic energy around you. So I feel that when you have the big players, whether they're ascended masters or archangels or what have you on your side, that means that you have big spiritual work to do for and in terms of helping other people. So you think about those moments, and I know you're like downplaying it, but ultimately, like, that's a lot of pressure to have on you, on any light worker in on this earth when you're looking at everything that we have going on. So don't put so much pressure on yourself. I think that's amazing, no. though. And just that, and also it's true, like you have a podcast, you have a book, like you're speaking to people all across the world. It's just as your, you know, 8-year-old self, how amazing, like there was no probably way of saying like social media is going to be this way and podcasting and audio is going to be this way. Like, so that was probably the best way spirit could show you that.
But I thought it was total BS at the time. So I tuned it out.
Well, now you know that it was right. So yeah. There you go. Oh, my goodness. And so getting into then why angels and Reiki? And before I kind of turn that over, I'll just give you a little bit of my experience is that I had no idea, right? When I went into going back to what I was recommending to folks that if you have a curiosity, a natural curiosity, or something's inspiring you. For me, I had no idea what Reiki was in my early 20s. And I just had heard that there was this way and course you could go and you could learn about it. And I was like, I'm going to go and do it. You know, I'm going to just try it out. I had no desire to or interest really of doing it for other people or being a healer. Like my egoic self and everything else was more, yeah, whatever. I'm just going to do this for, you know, interest and education. But what happened through that whole process is that's when my connection with angels and spirit really came through. And so for me, it was just a natural progression. But also when you said how different healers approach things and have different philosophies are very different. That's why I feel like we are soul sisters because yeah. The angel connection we have is so strong. And so I'd love to hear from you about, well, why is that, right?
Yeah. Why is it that angels connect with Reiki so much? Okay, here's what it is.
Please tell me, because I actually don't know the answer to this. I have a theory, but yeah.
Have you ever been to a course, a spiritual course on developing your gifts, and they want to make you pick one of the four clairs? Like they're like, a teacher will say, okay, you're either clairaudient, clairvoyant, clairsentient, claircognizant. And they're trying to lead you to one. We as humans want to make connection with the other side out to be the same as how we communicate here. It's not. It's telepathic. And it happens through the energy. Okay? Now take that, hold it off to the side. When man went to God in the Bible and said, what is your name? God didn't say a name. God didn't even say God. God said, I am. And what is I am? I am is everything that is. I am is all the energy. God, I am is just beingness, right? And so when you take those two things and kind of put it together and you realize that what angels are extensions of God's energy being used to help you in this life, because the angels always kind of laugh and say, you know, God stacked the deck in our favor, right? And you can see that throughout all of the world's religions. We fight and bicker about so much, but throughout all of the world's religions are angels. And so put all of this together, angels are God's energy. God's energy is all that is. It's what flows through you, makes up your body. It's the energy that surrounds you. And your angels are able to come through that energy telepathically to you. So when you're using Reiki, what I believe that Reiki actually is, and I'm so grateful to the Yasui founder who founded it in Japan, but I actually think he refounded it because when I've gone in meditations, like it's been around for thousands of years. And so Reiki is oneness. Reiki is God's frequency. Reiki is the vibration of your soul. And the angels are the best source that can come through that energy to help you, guide you, direct you, protect you. Because what I teach my Angel Reiki School students when I'm teaching people how to do this work, what I teach them is it feels very different, at least to me, to connect with a loved one versus an angel. There's a completely different energy to it. And so your loved ones coming through first as you're developing your gifts is actually going to be harder for you to learn what it is because they have an earthly component to the feeling and the vibration. And so you're not totally sure of what it is that you're feeling. It's much easier to go through the process of learning energy healing. If you're going to go through an energy healing program, my Angel Reiki School kind of combines, it's almost like going through an energy healing program, a mediumship program, an angel messenger program, and a how to start your business program all wrapped up into one. But I teach the energy piece in order to be able to teach the angel piece. And then I teach the angel piece in order to be able to teach people how to connect with their loved ones. And there really is a true progression to it, but it's because of the way that the energy works.
Yeah, it's like you said, it's so different as far as connecting with angels or our loved ones. And so in some ways, I don't call it easier because in some cases, some people may find it easier, vice versa, right? Or the other way around. But I think because like all of the reasons you mentioned, the vibration is just a little bit easier to connect to when you're going through that whole process. So thank you for that. Because I was just, I recognize that you are one of the only other people that kind of approaches it this way with such a close tie to angels and Reiki and what that looks like. And so I've just always been surprised that not everybody else does it that way, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's so funny too, because I actually think a lot of people are talking about angelic energy.
Right. They're just maybe not defining it that way or something. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's almost like in the spiritual community, we're all using different words, but we're all getting to the same point with everything.
It goes into like the interpretation. I think I said it on, I don't even remember what episode, but it's like when I get information, I try very hard to like just say, all right, this is what I'm seeing in my mind's eye versus this is what spirit is actually verbatim saying and whatever, because like you also were going through, it's like pieces of a puzzle and how it's all kind of coming together. And then sometimes that miscommunication can be like how I'm interpreting it or vice versa. So to your point about the community as a whole and healers and spiritualists, it's like they were all using almost for the most part talking about the same thing. It's just a different way of defining it, right?
Yeah. Well, and you know why I think that is, Nicole? So one of the other things that happens for me is when I'm working with a soul who is here to help other people, they are a healer through and through. You can see orbs over the person's shoulder. And sometimes there's just millions of these orbs over their shoulder. And spirit always says that that is a definite sign that their soul path is tied to the soul path of those people they're here to help. So when the healer is on their path doing what it is that they're supposed to do, those souls can be on their path too. However, if I was to be like, okay, Nicole is like spot on, I must be wrong with the way that I'm seeing things, so I'm just going to use Nicole's method. Maybe the people who are over my shoulder, who I'm supposed to reach, see things the way that I do, and the people who are over your shoulder see things the way that you do. So if we're all going to the exact same place and we're all focused on the maximum benefit of the client and getting them where they need to be on their path, we have to release all of this. It has to look this way.
Right.
No.
Because it's like GPS.
Yeah.
I mean, there's millions of different ways to get from point A to point Z or whatever that looks like, right? Somebody's path may be different.
Yeah. You have the best energy. When we
talk
to
them
tonight on the phone, I feel like you just embody oneness and hold it all the time. And I love.
Oh, you're sweet to say that. I wish that were the case. Spoiler alert, everyone. I'm not always in that energy, but I will definitely take it. I will take the compliment. So thank you.
Yes. Did you know, do you feel energy like when you're in your session? Are you a feeler too?
I do. So when I was really young, I was so overwhelmed with, I say feeling a different way, emotional feeling, right? Because emotional feeling, just everybody else's emotions and things around me. And it was so overwhelming. It's like, I think of Jesus on the cross, not Sam Jesus, but similar to you, but it's like just so much emotion. It's like, how do I transmute it and feel it through and all of that? So that's that. But, I used to, when I was younger, also physically feel energy, like almost like dense balls and that sort of thing. And so if I'm in person in a Reiki session, I feel it with my hands. But right now, the way I've asked my guides and angels to work through it is I ask them to, I'm very much to-do list. So they give me things visually in my mind's eye. And then from there, then I give them permission to allow me to tap in to emotion and feeling. And so it's almost like a little bit of a tree a little way is the best way I can describe it.
Yeah.
But I've had to do it that way because if I don't, then it can be very overwhelming.
So I don't let just anybody do a reading on me or work on me energetically. I'm very protective of that because you can go to healers that can place stuff in your field if they're going to bring through negative energy. And I just don't want to go through the complication of having to undo that. So I go to one lady who holds the highest vibration I've ever felt. And she says she doesn't feel that energy, but her clients say that they feel that off of her all the time. Because I can rank it, right? Like I can feel who holds a high. You hold that vibration.
Oh, well, thank you. That's so sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
All right. Well, I'm going to need to tap into it more. So Julie, out of all the things we've talked about, so your experience growing up, what really helped you open up and become more awakened to your spiritual path with your dad, your book, your podcast. And by the way, guys, she is the original angel medium and the founder of Angel Reiki. So, you know, it's very much esteemed to be talking to her and having her here today. But what else would you like to share? Like, what are you feeling led from either your angels and guides or spirit? What else would you like to share?
What's coming through right now is actually from the seraphim. You know that at this point, because this is going to air next week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you know, Nicole, right? We're in this time period where we're feeling everything of the collective, and that's on purpose. So a lot of people are feeling a lot of mixed energies just coming off of COVID, feeling this universal energy of just the heaviness of the collective consciousness right now. And what Spirit is saying is really have patience with yourself as you walk through this, because there's so many people who are listening who are like, okay, well, I want to have a podcast like Nicole's one day, or I want to do this work one day. But that fear guy is kind of coming in, and it's being compounded with the heavy energy of right now. And I feel like it's getting a lot of people down on themselves. And Spirit says, don't allow that to happen. Like, ask Spirit to show you a vision of what you're going to be doing, just like I did as a third grader, and trust what comes in because it's for you. It's for your path. And there's nothing negative to it. It's just loving and positive.
I love that. And as you were talking, I was getting the feeling, you know, when you go somewhere and there's an overwhelming feeling of humidity or heat, right? It's like you literally feel like it hits you. Just it's in your space. Energetically, I think it's almost like sludge and slime that we're feeling because we're on the tail end and we're like, it's almost like a comet, like it's whipping back around. And so it's not supposed to hold us to that lower vibration. We're both ascending and descending, actually. This was a big message I got the other day. Most people think we're ascending and we're moving into this other realm. But really what's happening is, and this blew my mind, we're descending because we were connected and are connected to our higher selves. And what's happening now is we're resettling back into our bodies and the awareness is catching up. Our consciousness is being turned on. So when we're tired or we feel like, oh, or whatever, it's because we're actually, it's a combination of that ascension and now we're kind of falling back down and it's all being gelled out. So to what Julie was saying, it's to embrace that, ask for the vision, ask for the feeling, and just let yourself and be kind and let yourself like ride it because it's not forever. And when you say forever and you're asking me a timeline, it's going to be different for every single person. But I'm feeling like they're giving me visually, it's going to be a quick thing, but just to stick through it as far as making sure that you feel calm and, you know, grounded.
That's amazing. I love that.
So, Julie, tell everyone how they can reach you and also, more importantly, how they can get your book.
Oh, yeah. Can I give away like a promotional thing too?
You can drop whatever you want. Yeah.
Okay, awesome. The book and my podcast are the same title, Angels and Awakening. It's on Amazon, barnesandnoble.com, Audible. But I think a lot of people like having the physical book because I have space for you to write in it and do exercises. And then if you resonate with this work and just want to work on yourself personally, I have an angel membership and I can give everybody here 15-day free trial if they wanted to try it out.
Does that include me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Let's talk later. All right. Well, thank you so much. And what is your website and what's your Instagram handle?
Yeah. And I should say the Angel membership has new content that you get every single week. And there's live events with it, but it's at theangelmedium.com. Then just go to Angel membership. Instagram is Angel Podcast.
I will make sure I include this in the episode and the show notes and everything. But Julie, I just wanted to say this is not the first conversation or the last conversation we're having, I should say. This is the first of many conversations we're going to be having because we're going to be working closely together. I feel it.
I know, me too. Well, did you tell, can we tell the story of like how we kind of came together?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I just thought it was like so random. I was in meditation one day and Spirit keeps talking about this team of healers we're going to be pulling together to help create like standards. And they keep showing me HIPAA forms, right?
Which is not very exciting when you talk about your mentor. You're like, HIPAA forms. What is this related to? Right, exactly. Right?
Well, I think we need some standards within our industry because I don't know about you, but like people in Chicagoland always email in and they're like, so I went to this healer and she said that this negative thing is going to happen. And then 2 days later, she called and she said, for $3,000, she'll clear it all from my field. That's a whole bunch of bullshit, you know, like.
Right. Oh, and by the way, PSA guys, if you haven't seen on Julie's Instagram or mine, we will not message you or say that we're picking up energy and then all of that stuff. Those are scammers. So going back to the whole criteria, but yes, please continue.
Sure.
That's just my PSA of we won't message you. Don't fall for it.
No, nothing like that. You have to go to our website.
Yes, exactly.
So I'm in meditation and Spirit's like, you're going to pull together this team of healers. You're going to create standards, because what a lot of people don't realize is that HIPAA is not a government organization. It was a bunch of companies that got together and said, we need to protect the customer. And so we need to have this kind of sheet that they can understand. And I go, oh my God, this feels really overwhelming. I don't even know where I begin with this. And so a lot of people had been emailing me in, and even on our Facebook group, they're like, have you seen A Psychic Story? Nicole is amazing. You have to talk to her. So they keep showing me these emails that I had gotten, and they're like, email Nicole. You guys will do it together. So I reach out to you, and then you said that you had worked with a company that made the HIPAA form. And I was like,
yeah, which, yeah, it was so many years ago, very, very long time ago. But yeah, and you were on my list to have as a guest and to interview, because same thing. So I just also want to give a shout out to the community, right? To people who listen, who have already read Julie's books, and all the people that are going to be buying it and everything too, because you guys are amazing. Like, you are creating this community, both with your spirit teams and angels and guides and ours. Like, and so we want to support you as much as we can. That's why we give the free episodes and content, everything else, and the resources. And I think that that's so important, the message you were getting from spirit for the protection and the credentials for people out there and what that looks like. Because as people continue to go through their journeys, they want to make sure that they're getting the right information and resources, and going back to free will and choice, that then they know that they can confidently like pick and choose and what that, how that shows up for them in their lives, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's incredible. No, thank you so much to everybody who listens, because you allow us to do what we do. I just wake up every day feeling so grateful and so blessed.
Same. Well, thank you again, Julie.
Thank you for listening to A Psychic Story. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and join the conversation on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. All episodes are free on your favorite podcast player or at apsychicstory.com. Have a question? Is there a topic you'd like to hear more about? Or have a suggestion for a future guest? Send an email to contact@apsychicstory.com or leave a voicemail message at 1-800-880-1881. We'd love to hear from you, and you may even be featured on a future episode. If you're interested in booking a session with me, you can do that directly on the website. And if you want to hear even more content hosted by yours truly, check out my other show, Supernatural Matters. Reminder that you are automatically entered to win either a free 20-minute intuitive or energy healing session with me if you leave 5 stars along with a positive review. Currently, reviews can be left on Apple, Stitcher, Podchaser, or CastBox podcast players. Don't forget to email contact@apsychicstory.com when you do, because it allows me to get in touch with you if your name is pulled in the drawing. Your name stays in until you win.